Mark Hazelwood, author of the book Delicate Earth, History, Science, Planet X. Mark, I'm looking at your book here, and there's numerous small chapters here dealing with the many subjects that all tend to point to the existence of Planet X and give supporting evidence that this planet is coming in. Could you give us of some casual thoughts on the introduction, Delicate Earth, History, Science, Planet X, and what the book is all about?
Well, originally, I pulled together some material, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, just doing my own personal research, and I realized that Earth changes had a specific cause. You know, there's a lot of talk about Earth changes, there's a lot of prophecy about Earth changes, but there's only a small percentage of this information that actually point towards a cause. So after I discovered the cause, which is actually me, there was a lot of other people who discovered it prior to me, but actually I discovered that information and pulled it together, I thought, you know, none of the avenues of information that I got the Planet X stuff from are presenting it in a way that people can readily grasp and accept. So, after I did my own personal research for my own kind of selfish reasons, I thought, oh my God, you know, this, I feel like, you know, I'm being egged on. There's, you know, my higher self or something that, you know, is putting the onus on me to actually present this in a manner that, you know, people could grasp easily and accept readily. So, not being an author, I decided, well, maybe it's time to be one. So I pulled together my first book, and along the way, I did not understand that there was a lot of disinformation. So I swallowed a major piece and put 2003 on the cover. And so I hooked up with a group of maybe a couple, 3,000 people over the internet after I wrote and sold thousands of these books, and just watched the information over a period of 3 or 4 or 5 years as it came in. You know, there was a lot more information that came up after that. And I thought, well, maybe it's time to pull together all that information that other people have done, their own research, scientists, various people from different realms of the scientific community, you know, ancient historical evidence, etc., and just present that in a second book and take myself out of it completely and put aside prophecy. And that's how I came up with Delicate Earth. I simply allowed everyone else's research that I discovered, the best of the best, over a period of 3 or 4 years, let's say, and put it into book form. And that's what Delicate Earth is about, the subsequent research that was done by a lot of other different people.
I see. Well, looking at the first chapter, government has known Planet X was inbound over 35 years. Would you like to comment on that, or just give us a quick overview of that?
Well, I can tell you kind of a fast fact about that. That there are actually carpenters up in Lake Mont, Georgia, that built a small community of dome homes for a group of scientists 30 years ago. And if you get a hold of any of these carpenters today, they will tell you why those homes were built, because the scientists at the time freely told them it was about this rogue planet coming. They wanted to be ready for it in an area that's, you know, well enough away from the ocean and high enough in elevation so they had a good chance to survive. And of course the domes are the strongest structure known to man, so that's the reason why they built those. I mean, that's just one small tidbit of information that I could offer. But
the fact that they knew about it 35 years ago and went to the extent to actually build refuges Sure. It's quite a bit that over a third of a century it's been known. It hasn't even been conjecture or speculation.
Well, I mean, there was one point, of course, when it slipped out. It made the news media, and I guess five or six major newspapers picked it up.
Right, and I have...
Back in the early 80s. But that was only, you know, 22 years ago. But they'd known about it before then. That was just... You know, they reconfirmed it from an alternative technological avenue. The satellite. There were a couple satellites they sent up.
Right, the infrared astronomical satellite was one.
Right.
Right. And then, what was it? The other two, Pioneer 10 and 11, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that information actually made it into an encyclopedia back in 83. It had a diagram of with Planet X there and our twin sun, which is, you know, virtual classified information. But if anyone studies the universe with these huge telescopes we got nowadays, they'll understand that the average solar system is either binary or has three suns. 74% are binary, 24% have three suns. And we're average. The only difference is that our twin sun is there's not any threat, but it's dark. So, you know, they keep that under wraps because it sets the stage too well for...
It sure does.
...the orbit of this dwarf that orbits back and forth. And by the way, that's also average. The average solar system has a dwarf that orbits around or back and forth between the two suns or the three suns.
And that's Planet X in our case.
Exactly, but that's certainly not the only object that can come through. There are rogue extrasolar objects that come through solar systems on a regular basis that can do exactly what Planet X does, you know, virtually disrupt the surfaces of many, if not all, the planets that it passes without ever striking.
So this,
and I mean disrupt the surface, cause a crustal or mantle shift that with our delicate little civilization, with 90% of the population around the shorelines, would take out the majority of it.
So this well-known astronomical fact that many solar systems have binary partners, so to speak.
Well, the average.
The average. This scientific fact is so obscure in the minds of the public that they use that ignorance, that public ignorance, to prevent people from finding out about and believing, realizing that it's a highly credible possibility that we would have another planet coming in, not even to mention when it would come in, but just the fact that it's very likely that our solar system would have an intruder planet coming from around another distant sun. If they knew that from their grade school science, they would be much more receptive to believing the Planet X story.
Well, they don't want the public to know this. And of course, they offer the majority of the websites out there regarding Planet X, and many times they put it in to the belief category. And they only offer one good piece of credible evidence and leave out the rest, or they make it appear completely silly, or they say it's benign and it's not going to pass anywhere near, or it's not going to pass for another few hundred years, that type of thing.
Right, exactly. And then,
that's all they do in a nutshell. And of course, anyone offering correct information about what is known, I mean certainly yourself and a handful of others, another half dozen others, McKinney included, Alex Merklinger, of course, he's got people on talking about this seriously. But they do their best to, of course, attack the characters of these people that actually offer the correct information. I mean, the whole ball of wax, not just one piece and then nonsense to go along with it.
Well, this has always been a tactic of governments that want to suppress the truth, people bringing out the truth in any category, political corruption, political crimes, treason, etc. They will just try to destroy the character of the person, because they don't have to deal with the evidence that that person is presenting. Incidentally, talking about the tactic of admitting that Planet X may exist, but it'll be a long time, maybe half a century or a century before it gets here. That tactic has been used by Jason Martell, I believe.
Oh yeah, absolutely. In fact, he aligns himself with another very obvious disinformation website that some people would be familiar with, called Zeta Talk, that actually offered pictures from NASA saying they were Planet X. They were actual pictures from NASA. They were exposed as pictures from NASA from McCanny, so it showed the direct alignment. But it's supposedly some lady, you know, talking with aliens about this just to make it appear silly. But exactly. Jason Martell aligns himself with this person behind this website in attacking me.
So that's kind of
interesting fast back about Jason Martell and his gorgeous website that has some really good ancient historical evidence. So I'm not discounting the information given. It's just you have to understand what light it's being given in, and the fact it's only given a piece, and then the disinformation is all around. So.
Well, yeah, his major diversionary tactic is to tell you that it's coming in, but it's going to be a long time before it gets here.
Right.
We'll probably all be dead by then.
Exactly.
And that's what makes everybody just turn over in bed and go back to sleep.
Yeah.
He does have a convincing... I'm sorry, go ahead.
You know, I really got the feeling, though, after being in and around this subject area for more than half a decade, that if these governments or people behind the government that pulled the strings didn't suppress this information and, you know, allowed everyone to say, have their piece and say whatever they wanted to about it, still, at this point, I just, based on my observation of the people of this country and the planet, there would be a huge percentage of people that would still simply ignore it, and then another huge percentage of people that even if they had the information, really couldn't do anything about it.
Right, and
it wouldn't be that much different, is what I'm saying.
That's true, and. The few people who would prepare themselves would do it in a systematic, orderly way without going
That's
into
true,
a state
though.
Of
Yeah,
panic.
It would offer it to those people.
They would know, they would feel comfortable in that they have enough time, would have enough time to prepare. But, of course, the people in power, the problem with them is they have a criminal mindset. Their mind is not set on serving the people. Their mind is set on enriching themselves and crushing the people, essentially. And that's why they don't care about the, you know, millions of deaths that will result from this last-minute awakening that's going to occur when people look up in the sky and see a big red ball, and they see asteroids come crashing, flaming into the Earth, and tsunamis, and people will be, be mystified.
Well, all these things are already happening. There's been a huge number of objects streaming in from one southerly direction now for over 5 years, causing the sun to go bananas. I mean, we're supposed to be at a solar minimum, and we've never seen a solar maximum like this, and it's supposed to be right in the middle of a solar minimum, and it all has to do with these objects interacting electrically with the sun.
Well, that's such a plain fact, literally and figuratively, in your face when you look up at the sun. You can see how bright the sun is. And that's something that they still haven't figured out how they're going to cover that one up.
Well, they've done a good job. I mean, the SOHO satellites, you know, they do their best, although they don't always, but they do their best to turn them off or say they're down whenever one of these objects starts streaming through. You get the first few frames and all of a sudden they switch it off because they don't want people to know how solid the evidence is for the electrical connection between all the objects in the solar system. I mean, when one of these objects sails by, there's a huge possibility that an enormous solar flare will be ejected right as it passes, which shows the electrical connection.
Right, and people don't even have to know anything about the electrical science, scientific aspect of the solar system. All they have to do is look up at the sun, and it's in your face. You know, you begin to, any reasoning, inquisitive person would wonder, why is the sun so bright? Why do I get a sunburn in 10 minutes instead of an hour? You know, so...
You know, getting back to these powers that be that think they're, they're the ones that are going to survive this. You know, I don't know if you've mentioned on your show or about the preparations they've come up with, the many underground cities that they've built for themselves, but that isn't going to work. I mean, some of the best minds on the planet have proven to me that when the mantle is moving like a wave in the ocean, whatever you got underground, it's not going to hold up. It's just a fantasy of theirs that it's going to. So,
right.
You know, if they got a criminal mindset, basically that's kind of a low spiritual level of consciousness, they're going to attract the same thing that the next person is without this information, without preparing, is going to themselves as far as the kind of thing they're going to experience during this event. In other words, they're not going to be safe whatsoever.
Right. I mean, it's really ironical that they have so much scientific know-how behind their escape plan, behind their underground shelter plan. So many scientific minds have worked on it, and yet it's so obviously stupid to go under a mountain.
Well, that,
where the mountain's
that's one word I was trying to avoid, but I have to agree with you.
Because that's where the mountain building occurred last time, and it's going to occur again this time.
Right, exactly.
So there are many aspects to your book, so many, and I wish maybe in the future we can go through each one of them. I'll just name a few as we go along, and stop me if an idea comes into your mind.
Okay.
Before we contact Dr. McFarland. Let's see, unprecedented extreme weather, world meteorological organizations, organization. This is an
Well, that's the most prestigious weather gathering organization in the world. I think well over 100 countries report to that organization, and they basically have come out as of, was it 2 or 3 years ago, and said that the world's weather is gone crazy. I mean, they've said it that blatantly.
And you know what, Mark? I've been, I'm probably the only person in the United States who has about 200 hours of severe weather reports videotaped from the Weather Channel. I'm on my 34th videotape, 6-hour videotape, and I'm cutting out all the other extraneous stuff and just concentrating on the severe weather reports. And in the last about a year and a half, I've collected about 200 hours of weather reports ranging from straight severe 60, 80, 90, over 100 mile straight line wind storms, tremendous tornado outbreaks, hurricanes, flooding, and so I've got videotapes of a car, for example, an unforgettable scene, a car hanging from a tree in Virginia after the floodwaters lifted it up into the top of a tree.
Right.
So it's just amazing. And so, I mean, if people were just to watch, take the time and watch one of those tapes maybe an hour every day for several months, they'd be convinced that something's wrong.
They'd be pulling their hair out.
Yeah, I mean, so...
I don't know how good an entertainment that would be after a while. Over and over again, the same stuff. I mean, it'd be good proof and all, but...
When they put it together with the Planet X information, it would certainly, I think that's one of the most convincing factors right there, because, I mean, you're experiencing it, you know. But let's see, we got other things here, other chapters in your book, Rebel with a Cause, Professor James McCanney, and I include Professor McCanney on my broadcast excerpts from his Alex Merklinger program, and even from...
Well, he's the guy who scientifically shows the connection between the sun going crazy, these objects streaming through, and the increase in seismic activity, volcanism, and the weather going crazy on not this planet, but the rest of the planets in our solar system. So that's another one of the reasons why he's important.
Right, and in fact, the scientific community is shifting from their erroneous theories to his more accurately proven principles of the electrical solar system. And they're doing it in a way that makes it look like they figured it out themselves, and he had nothing to do with it.
And they're trying to mesh it in with their old, outdated ideas at the same time, which is really kind of crazy, but that's how they...
They remind me, the scientific community and the government, it reminds me of somebody standing on two pieces of earth split by an earthquake, and the gap keeps on spreading wider and wider, and it's only a matter of time before their legs split apart.
Yeah, instead of jumping to one side, they decide just to split their frame when their legs have gotten completely on one side or the other.
Right. This is a book that everyone who is interested in knowing about the future, the near future, and who's concerned about their family, their loved ones, and their spiritual well-being needs to read, because that once they read it, they'll have the evidence that they need to prepare for themselves. I don't know of a book that's more important than this. It goes into Dr. Immanuel Velikovsky, a genius who was a colleague of Albert Einstein, who proposed the principles upon which Professor McCanney's principles are built. It talks about the murder of the courageous...
Well, actually, they're aligned to his in some way, certainly the catastrophism part of it. He did not even discover Velikovsky until after he came up with his theories based on the evidence he was seeing coming in from the satellite evidence at Cornell University, where he studied.
Oh, I see. Okay.
He was introduced to Velikovsky afterwards, and then was just, very excited that it happened to fit into his theories.
That's right. Velikovsky was the scientist who realized that all the changes that that science has attributed to slow ice ages, slow growing ice ages, have really occurred in a catastrophic conditions in a relatively
short
time.
Well, the slow changes do happen, but what they are is settling between the major changes. That's all. We have catastrophic events and then settling for several hundred years, maybe a thousand or two, and then another set around of catastrophic events and the settling again. So it's the settling that is the real gradualism that we've been taught.
And these, with the binary, with the very likely plausible existence of a binary solar system, well, it's a fact actually, but with
well, if you study all the abnormal, the abnormalities of the orbits of our solar system, and then you interject a twin star into the equation, it takes care of all of those abnormalities. And of course, if you can find the twin stated, as a matter of fact, in that Scientific American, Illustrated Scientific American Encyclopedia back in 1983, so it's there. It was just, at that point, that was the last time they allowed it to come out in print, because they virtually quashed that information about us being in a binary system.
Wasn't it also the New Science and Invention Encyclopedia of 1987?
That's what I was talking about. I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean, it's been a while.
Right.
Sometimes I forget these minor facts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you've assimilated so much information. It's not easy to remember at all. But Dr. Robert S. Harrington of the U.S. Naval Observatory was evidently, we can see that there's too much evidence to indicate that his death was accidental.
He wouldn't shut up, and he was too credible being with NASA themselves, so they had to do something about it.
Right, because he had gone down to the southern hemisphere, which is the viewing point, the only good viewing point of Planet X. He had gone down there with an 8-inch telescope, which is nothing spectacular, and still he was able to photograph it, and he was bringing the photographs back. He had he had reported on his prior to his return that he had the photos. So the people in power knew that he was going to blow the story wide open.
He was just reconfirming it for himself after writing, more than a half dozen scientific papers that are still available for people to look over if they want to.
How would we obtain those?
Well, they are on the internet, and you can find them. For whatever reason, they haven't suppressed those papers. I guess they won't go there, even though they suppressed him. But he went down there with his telescope and a box for it, and came back and boxed himself.
Well, it's the man was very courageous, and it's sad to think that he had to give his life because he cared about other people's lives. But that's what happens too often. I'm going to try to see if we can get Dr. McFarlane on the line here.
Okay.
So I may switch over, but hang on.